Pray with me, please. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you that we are a family. And we thank you, and we're so grateful for the sacrifice that you made with your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. As the choir and the orchestra and all have pointed to you this morning, as we spend the next few minutes learning again about the old, old story, Father, let us never come to this moment without wonder, without expectancy, without knowing that you have something special for us, that you want us to know you. You want us to know you deeply. You want us to apply your word to our lives. So, Father, I ask now that you decrease me, and I ask humbly that you speak through me so that we all may learn something new about you today and be able to apply it to our lives. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, family. How are you? I love having all this space, so I'm going to use some of it because our orchestra is growing and it seems like that's kind of crowded there. We are going to start this morning at chapter 4 in Galatians. This is our fourth lesson. We have been moving through the book. We have been hearing from the Apostle Paul what he had to say to the church in Galatia. Galatia had had some problems. They started well. They were excited when they received the word. And then apparently some false teachers came among them. And they started to believe and go backwards. So starting this morning in verse 4, I'm going to read and it should be behind me on the screen. You can follow along, Galatians 4, and we're going to start with 1 through 9. And the record says, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery, under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a child, God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. The word of God for the people of God. Somebody should say amen to that. This morning I'm going to share a very personal story with you. And I'm doing it by permission. But before I share that story, I'd like to put a couple of things into place before I share the story. Because it's not my story alone, it's my family's story. And it's the story about how we became a forever family. Some of you who came from Streams of Hope know this story. You walked with us during this time. But the reason that I'm telling you this story this morning is because I believe, and it's not just my belief, this is pretty much how it works, in God's meta-narrative, in the big narrative of God's story, which is that of redemption, He's redeeming all of us. He's redeeming the world. It would be His desire to bring everyone back to Himself. Within that larger narrative is our narrative, our story. And our story intersects with God's bigger story. And if we're watching and if we're careful, we can see where God is using that to teach us and to grow us and to make us more like His Son. So it's with that spirit I tell you this story. It's what I have learned from God as it relates to this passage. And it's a story of the adoption of my daughter, Masali. You know her as Mimi, but her given name is Masali Ayalam Mutsos, which is a mouthful for such a little girl. Before I tell you our story, I did ask for her permission. And Mimi is a trusting little girl. Mimi trusts me because I'm her mother. She trusts you because you're her church family. She loves God. She's a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart. So when I went to her and I said, Mimi, now you have the absolute right to say no. You really do not have to do this. But can Mommy share your adoption story with the church Sunday? Because I think it would help them understand God's word a little bit better. She was like, oh yeah, Mommy, no problem. That's not a problem. I was like, okay, Mimi, no, seriously, I'm going to tell your business on Sunday, and I really want you to be okay with that. And please don't say that, don't say yes just because I'm asking you this. And she said, Mommy, it's our story. Most people know. And I'm not ashamed of my story. So I thanked her profusely for that. So with that trust that Mimi gave to me, and now I'm giving to you, I'm going to ask, because my daughter is 11 years old, she really doesn't need you to go up to her at any point and say, you know what, you're such a lucky little girl. She knows she's lucky. She knows she's blessed. We know we're blessed because we could not even begin to imagine our life without Mimi. In fact, she's blessed us more than we've blessed her. So I'm telling you this story just so you can learn a little bit more about God's heart. But the story really isn't about her. It's about you. All right? So in November of 2007, on my birthday, and I will tell you, was a significant birthday. Okay, hey. Watch yourself, slow down. It was a significant birthday. And took the day off, and Peter even took the day off. I don't even know why Peter had we never had the same days off back then. We both had the day off. And so Peter came to me and he said, listen, we need to talk. Okay, usually when I get the we need to talk, that usually means I have overspent on some line item, generally clothes, on our budget. So I'm bracing myself, and I'm like, but it's my birthday. You're not going to yell at me about money on my birthday. Come on. And he said, listen, I have something on my heart, and I really want to talk to you about it. And I was like, whoa, well, what's up? And he said, God has really laying it on my heart to adopt. I was like, adopt what? I mean, I'm not an animal person. Okay, anyone who has known me for 5 minutes knows I am not an animal person. Whoever you are, if you like it, whatever, cool. That's not me. Was never raised around animals. I had a fish, I think, at one point. I don't even know what happened to the fish. The fish could still be at my mother's house. So he said, no, the Lord has put it on my heart to adopt. I've been watching Wednesday's Child. And I was like, well, turn off the TV. What are you doing? I was like, baby, we have a child. And, I'll use JT as a sermon point for another day. That was a whole nother thing, having JT. And again, SOH has heard that story before, too. We have lived completely in community. The births of my children have been, JT was born on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and it was announced, the church knew before my family knew that, that JT was born. But anyway, so he says, he wanted to adopt. And I'm going to tell you, it was one of those moments I was mad. And I'll be honest with you, I was mad because I knew what he had said was true. And it was something that I had thought about too, but I'm smart enough that I never would have said it. So on the night of my birthday, and again, I cannot stress enough that this was a significant birthday, even though I am going to squeeze into these skinny jeans until y'all tell me to stop, and then I'm going to still look at y'all. Okay. We said okay, and we took the plunge to adopt Masali. And how were we to know what that was going to look like and be like in that moment? Went through the paperwork, and the amazing thing, we found out who Masali was because, in this process, we had no clue. Masali wasn't even born yet. But like the word says, even before you were born, when you were still in your mother's womb, I had a good and perfect plan for you. This child was not even born yet. We had no idea we would be getting on a plane and going halfway around the world to Ethiopia. That's why she's so beautiful. I know y'all thought it was because of me. But Mimi is actually Ethiopian. Those beautiful eyes, beautiful hair, she's Ethiopian. And we went halfway across the world to get that child. So, we found out the week before Mother's Day about Mimi and who she was. And they sent a picture of her, and she was gorgeous. And they said, okay, don't tell anybody. So, of course, we sent a picture to everybody, I can keep a secret. No, for real, I can. But that was too good. And we fell in love. We fell in love. So, what does all that have to do with today? Well, Auntie's going to get up here and try to pull it apart for you and tell you. So, we are in Ethiopia. Could you show the first picture, please, that's there? That is the very first time we laid eyes on Mimi. the orphanage actually named her. She was named Masali, and in her language, that means to be an example. And they were fascinated with Mimi even at that age. They said that she was just a special little girl. You know, when she emerged from that door, look at her face. She's confused, she's scared. Everybody was cheering. You know, they were like, yay, because they had something of an idea of the new life that Mimi was about to embark on. But she had no clue. She was just a baby. And all she knew was there were all these people and that, you know, she was comfortable where she was. She felt safe where she was. She thought she was living in freedom where she was. She didn't realize, God bless her, she didn't realize the situation she was in. She didn't realize that a little girl in Ethiopia at that time in 2008, there were more children that needed to be adopted in Ethiopia in 2008 than there were people in the state of Texas. Because of the AIDS epidemic and the lack of drinking water and some of the other infrastructure issues that Ethiopia had, but primarily the AIDS epidemic, Ethiopia was in really, really, really bad shape. The poverty was such that, I mean, I've traveled to Kenya, I've traveled to Jamaica, but when you talk about the poorest of the poor, that's what you find there. And there are so many children, and they live in the streets. And you would find, at that time, JT, they are 6 years apart, something like that. So in Ethiopia, you would actually find a 6, 7, 8-year-old child trying to care for their sibling, their younger siblings, living in the streets. A little girl, especially a beautiful little girl like that, because there are so many orphans, would be turned out into the streets by a certain age. And please understand me, this is not any kind of social commentary or anything. They love their children. They do the best that they can by their children. They love them. But the resources are limited. What do you think would happen to a little girl living on the street that's 7 or 8 years old, trying to be cared for by her older brother who's only a couple of years older than her? It's unspeakable, it's unthinkable what would have happened to that child. But that's all she knew. That was home. That's where she felt safe. That's where she felt love. She had no idea when that door opened what was waiting for her on the other side. It's amazing. You know, isn't that a metaphor for the spiritual life? Isn't that a metaphor for us? We are so entrenched in our sin, in our stuff, in what we know. And we think that that's all that there is. And we're happy. We're content living like that, living less than, not living in the wholeness and in the fullness of what God has. But that's all we know. That's all we know. So we do that until one day God intersects and changes our reality. Last week, Pastor, in this series, he talked about faith. He talked about faith. And he even said it a few minutes ago, faith gives you access to your inheritance. And our inheritance is that of beloved children. We don't have to be orphans. But how do you gain access? Well, one, you have to be a believer. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You have to believe that you are a sinner, and you have to accept that gift. And then once you accept that gift, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of us. In fact, Jesus said in John 14:25, I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all of what I've said to you. So that says to me that disciples, that's me and you, that's people who have given and who trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, need to be reminded of the things that Jesus said and taught while he was on this earth. So family, that is why it's important for us to read our Bibles. We don't stand up here every week and say, read your Bible, you need to read your Bible, you need to read your Bible. We don't say that just to hear ourselves. We don't say that because it sounds good. We don't say that to just be a pain. We say that because you have to be in the Word so that the Holy Spirit can live and grow and teach you so that you can be able to live and be transformed and live a life where you are not held as an orphan separated from God. I wish somebody was here this morning with me. Okay, that's all right. I will encourage myself in the Lord, okay? You know, we need the Holy Spirit to remind us of the truth of God's Word. What's the truth of God's Word? The truth of God's Word is that we can do nothing apart from God. The truth of God's Word is that we are helpless. The truth of God's Word is there is no life apart from the Father. That is the truth of God's Word. And the other truth is we need the Holy Spirit in order to live in the freedom to live as sons and daughters, to live in the fullness of what God has for us. We need the Spirit. Those are the two truths that I'm going to hammer into you this morning. Could you show the next picture, please? So, as we continue our adoption story, when Paul first came to the Galatians, they were excited. Okay, Mimi's not excited in that picture, but they were excited. In fact, the word says that Paul was not even going to Galatia. He was actually sick and had to stop in Galatia. So if we were to look at that, you know, with human reasoning and human eyes, we would say that it was an accident. But because we are people of faith and people who know Christ, we know that there are no accidents. We know that Paul was sent to the Galatians. He was sent to the Galatians because they needed a savior. And when they met Paul, in verse 13, it says, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your own eyes and given them to me. Now, have I become your enemy by telling you truth? The people had received the gospel. They had received the good news. They knew no longer had a life that had limits around it. They were no longer living a life that was full of regulations and rules. They were adopted. They were God's children. And as God's children, they had God's freedom. But the other side of that is, with God's freedom comes some choices. You know, it's very interesting. I was talking to Pastor Jonathan this week, and we were talking through this scripture, and he said something that I thought was profound. He said, you know, people, it's interesting what people think of as enslavement and what they think of as freedom. And I was like, what do you mean by that, Jonathan? And he said, well, you know, before Christ, you're subject to the law and the Ten Commandments. And I was like, right. And after that, you have freedom in Christ. And I was like, right, but not to sin. And he was like, right. But when you think about it, in reality, which is more restrictive? If you can only do 10 things, or if you can do everything except those 10 things, why do you think we choose and think that God's ways are more restrictive? And I was like, I don't know, you're pretty smart, you tell me. So now Jonathan is going to finish the sermon and tell us why he thinks. But think about it, that's how we think. Because it's unknown, we fear. We think that God is more restrictive than the law. If you go back to that picture with Mimi where she's looking at us for the first time, what I think happened to the Galatians in that moment, stay with me, I know I'm going back and forth from the adoption to Mimi. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Do you get? All right. Thank you, Francine. So, I'll tell you what I think happened to the Galatians. Just like Mimi in this moment saw us, and she was assessing, okay, am I going with these people or not? And she did. She came with us. She had to decide, just like the Galatians had to decide. And I know that this is a big analogy, and at some point, you know, analogies fail, and for all of my engineers, I maybe can't make a decision. You know what I mean. A decision had to be made. Whether she was going to be a part of our forever family. Now, I mean, the facts were there. The paperwork had been signed. She was going to come with us. But only Mimi could choose if she was going to be a part of our forever family or not. One of the biggest fears, one of the most paralyzing fears, one of the biggest fears about adoption, and I think that this is why a lot of people don't adopt too, because on the parent side, they wonder if they could ever love a child that is not biologically theirs. But the bigger question that you have to ask in that situation is this child going to bond with me and love me? Is this child going to accept the sacrifices that I'm going to make, that I've already made? Is this child going to conform to our way of life, our way of thinking? Is she going to temper herself and become under the control of the rules and the freedoms that it is to be a mutsos? Yay, mutsos. Or not. That's her choice. And that's scary. And in the same way, the Galatians, who tasted of Christ, they saw the freedom that they had in Christ. But they had to choose, were they really going to be a part of God's forever family? Or were they going to go back to the orphanage, to the rules, even though it was less than? It was much, much, much less than what they had with Christ. But just like Mimi's little face in that picture, it's unknown. Gotta tell you, God's ways seem hard, but the yield, family, the yield is so much better. Can I show the last picture, please? Okay. Don't pay any attention to me. I was so deep in my feelings in this moment, I could not have moved, spoken, done anything, okay? What I want you to concentrate on is that girl's father. His arms are outstretched to her with a big smile on his face. He's saying, come to me, baby, I got you. I know you're scared, I know you don't know who I am, but I am your father. I thank God for him. But I want you to look at Mimi's little hand. Can you see her little hand and how she's holding on to the shawl that the lady had on? She's, because she's like, okay, I'm trying to trust you, but I don't know you. And she's still holding on to something that's familiar. Isn't that like us? Don't we want to hold on to what's familiar, even though it may be sin, even though it may not be good, even though it may be an orphanage, even though it may be less than, it may be filthy, it may not even, we hold on. Is somebody going to stay with me today? Is somebody going to say amen? We want to hold on. But we have a father. But we have a father who loves us. We have a father whose arms are outstretched to us. We have a father who loves us. Hallelujah. If we only knew what the Father has for us. All right. I'm gonna wrap this up. How can we live in the freedom? How can we live in the freedom that God has for us? Well, I would suggest to you that you first need to know that you're in prison. You have got to rightly assess your situation before you can move yourself out of it. The other thing that I would probably suggest to you is that you're going to need some help. You can't do this by yourself. I don't even think you should try. It really concerns me when I hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is so beyond irritating to me. You cannot live this life on your own. The reason that God put you in a forever family is so that you're going to have people that are going to be able to walk with you and people that are going to be able to encourage you. Didn't you just hear me say, I was talking to Jonathan about this sermon as I was trying to wrap my mind around it so I could talk to you about it. I'm telling you, if I didn't have the team that we have around us, if I didn't have my pastor for the past 28 years, if I didn't have a husband who was praying with me, if I didn't have my discipleship team who every Thursday morning, whether we're in this building or if we have to do it by video or telephone, we are together, we pray. We have to. How else are we gonna do this? You don't need me up here just talking to you from my pictures and my memory. You need me to tell you what God is saying. How do I know what God is saying? It's because I'm reading the Word, because I'm with His people. I'm living a life that is open to correction, to teaching, to whatever the Holy Spirit has. I'm on my face every day. Holy Spirit, please let me see situations correctly. And that's what I suggest for you. You know, I'm usually the very didactic teacher. Here are your notes, and I want you to 1, 2, 3. But I don't have that for you today because I need you to think. I need you to listen. I need you to see the words. I want that image burned into your head of what it looks like for a child to go to their father. And I'm just going to give you a couple of suggestions to walk away with. I'm going to tell you that in order to live in freedom, you need to be way tuned into the Holy Spirit. And how does one do that? By asking. Because the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, they're all gentlemen. Unlike Pastor Paula, who will walk up to you and ask you your business and dare you not to answer, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So, as a gentleman, you must ask. He's not going to impose himself on you. You must ask. Every day. Every hour. Give me the eyes to see, to really see what it is you're doing. Soften my hard heart so it breaks when I see the things that you are doing. When I go downstairs and look at that children's area, I cried. You know why I cried? Because God is doing something special, and I am excited, and I can't wait to see it. And the last thing Pastor Paul is going to tell you family. I wish I could make you understand. I really wish I could make you understand. You've got to live in the Spirit. You have to walk in the Spirit. You have to be humble. You have to ask so that you can see these things. You have to be in your Bible so that when life happens and things happen and you become scared and you become worried, the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. In all things, pray. But see, you got to be in the Word to know that. You got to be in the Word when, you know, somebody mistreats you. When you're at work and one of your coworkers, one of your busted up coworkers says something smart to you and you want to clap back, as the kids would say. You need to know the Spirit of God knew I am in control. In all things, I knew who my daddy is, so I don't have to bust this person in the face. In fact, I'm going to kill them with kindness because the word says that's like heaping coals on their head. You better be in the Word. You better ask the Holy Spirit. You better be open to what God is doing. You are not God. Guess what? You're not. You are not God. God doesn't do things the way you would do them. Thank Him for that. God's mercies are new every day. God is doing a new thing in you. He wants to. If you open your mouth to say something, if you want Him to, He wants to do something new in you every day. He doesn't want to, you know, He's a very creative person. He doesn't have to keep doing the same old things over and over again. Just because He worked with you like this today doesn't mean He's going to work like that tomorrow. But you got to be open. I'm going to sit down because y'all are not saying anything and it's starting to irritate me. Live in freedom, family. Live in the freedom that has been purchased for you. Can we pray? Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for forever family. Teach us to be faithful. Teach us to be humble. Break our hearts, Father, so that we can be the people that You call us to be. And we say this in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.